Please leave your message after the tone.
Hey, you two clowns. Love the show, but I want to give you a heads up. That episode you did with Aaron Terrence Hughes, Onyx, the review you read from the Fragrance Weirdo, I have a funny feeling that is actually Dan Rothschild. Dan goes under that handle on his Instagram page, and he really is good, knows a lot about fragrances. Dan also owns Soma Fragrances, and here's where you really need to listen, does an amazing podcast with like three other English folks who are really good. It's so much better than your show. No, I shouldn't say that. I love your show. It's awesome. But like these folks really know their shit. So you should check it out. I think you'd love it. It's like the, you know, if you compare it to restaurants, they're like the per se, and you guys are like, you know, a broken down Del Taco, but I love them both. All right, kids, have fun. Don't break your nose.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Cologne Podcast.
I'm Mike.
And I'm Ryan.
We're two best friends. We're going on a fragrance journey, and we're speaking with Dan, the Fragrance Weirdo. Welcome to the show, Dan.
Thank you very much.
So you're a pro at podcasting, so we're just going to jump right in.
You may have overstated the case then. Thank you. Thank you.
So just kind of give anybody who doesn't know who you are just a little backstory, how you got into it, what you're doing over on Instagram. Let's just kind of run through the history.
Sure. So I started posting pictures on Instagram of perfume. I've been collecting perfume since forever, really. I guess I'm 40 now, and I was 13 when I remember my first fragrance, and it's been sort of a journey, if you like, since then. About maybe 10 years ago, I got sort of sucked really down the rabbit hole of the whole thing. And then maybe it was just over 5 years ago, actually, I started thinking, well, you know, I've got all these bloody perfumes. I like taking pictures of stuff. Perfumes are nice to practice photography on. Why not put them on Instagram? And yeah, it was 5 years later, I've got a little over 40,000 wow. followers. I have a couple of perfume brands that I run, one called Soma Parfums, one called Insider Parfums, and also I host a podcast, another podcast, called Les Odorants. Are currently on a break. We start recording again this Sunday for season 3, which is very exciting. Yeah, I have listened to some of your podcasts. You know, obviously I like to pretend the competition doesn't exist, but I really like
that's how we are too.
I really like the format that you guys do. It's very different though, so of Les Odorants tends to be, I mean, we can go on for kind of up to, I think our longest episode was 3 hours.
It's just
and it's really fucking on and on and on, and you have to be quite committed to listen to it. Whereas the thing I like about your guys' podcast is it's super digestible. You know, you don't have to sit down and make a commitment to half a day's listening. You can take this in on a walk to work, which is fantastic.
Yeah, we actually had listeners write in, and I think this is fairly accurate. I'm not going to remember exactly what they said, but they're like, you guys are like sitting down fine dining, and we're like a greasy hamburger drive-thru, you know?
And there is a beautiful place in this world for both of those things.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Yeah, that's awesome. Was there a certain fragrance that kind of stuck out in your, before you were like, oh, I like these, and then you're like, oh yeah, no, I'm really into this now. Is there one that really got you?
So there were a couple that I started with, I started with some really kind of vintagey old school stuff, because that's what was around when I was that age. So Quorum and Sybaris by Puig were just like early kind of favorites. And I still have kind of vintage bottles of both of those. But the one that really, I think, sort of said to me, yeah, fragrance is something special, was Chanel Egoiste. And there was something for me about the convergence of the fragrance itself, but also, I don't know if you remember the TV advert. You guys are probably too, you look too young to remember this, but there was this fantastic TV advert with these kind of, I don't know where the house was, it's like one of these big Amsterdam sort of row houses with hundreds of windows. And it was just these women opening and shutting these bloody windows, screaming Egoiste.
For a man.
It was like this fucking like abstract car crash of a TV advert, and it just made me think, my God, this is so cool. And yeah, so there was me, 15-year-old boy at an all-boys school, wearing Chanel Egoiste to school.
There you go, man.
Idiot. Yeah, so that was my pivotal fragrance for sure.
Yeah, I think it was Curve for men for me at that age. So I think you're a little bit more sophisticated.
Yeah, quite a bit.
Well, just older, I think, rather than sophisticated. But yeah, I mean, the one that I guess, and it's boring as fuck to say it, but Aventus had such a massive impact on me around, 2011, whenever it was, right?
Right.
I remember trying it, and I said to my wife at the time, she's still my wife, you know, for the avoidance of any doubt. I said to my wife, I think I want to smell like this forever. But of course, you don't, because you get bored. There is no single one. And if you're into fragrance, that's the thing you have to accept very early on, I think, that you're never going to find the one. People think they're questing for the one. It doesn't exist. it just isn't there. The whole reason you're into this is because you value the difference.
Right. Absolutely.
The different things.
It's kind of like cinema, right? Even if you find a movie that you may feel is like, wow, that was a perfect story told, it doesn't mean you're not going to watch other movies it doesn't mean that you're going to watch that movie every day for the rest of your life. And in the same way, it's like, in a way, this is very similar. You're experiencing something that lasts for a certain amount of time and then it's gone and it changes over time, much like a story in a movie, you know? So I feel like it is very similar, but there are some movies that I've watched a million times too. And same with fragrances.
Me too. But you're not always in the mood for Dawn of the Dead, are you?
Right. Yeah. What's one that you right now are currently reaching for quite a bit?
So I'm currently going through a bit of an obsession with Irisy vanillas. Okay. I don't know why. Maybe it's starting to get a little bit cooler here. So there's a couple in that category. One is the Celine Oise Dormante. I don't know if you've tried that. And also a Boudicilla Victorious called Harmonious. And they are both, I mean, to give you some idea of what they like, they're both a little bit like the original Dior Homme from 2007. They're sort of slightly irisy, slightly lipsticky, bit of vanilla, bit of woods, quite masculine, maybe just a little bit kind of, maybe a bit feminine as well. There's something a little bit, I guess, fluid about them. But then that's what was special about the Dior Homme in the first place. I can't work out whether I'm psychologically just trying to recapture the original beauty of Dior Homme, or whether I really love these things for what they are, but I am absolutely rinsing both of those at the moment. So yeah, and Celine makes some amazing stuff. Amazing.
Since visually you're doing quite a bit on Instagram with bottles and stuff, does that ever sway your opinion on the fragrance? If you just see like, God, that's a gorgeous bottle, I just can't wait to take a picture of that thing.
Yes, unfortunately, yes. I feel like such a fucking hack for admitting this, but yes, the bottle, I have quite a few fragrances that I just keep for the bottle. I also have bottles I photograph more than I should, because I photograph them more than I wear them, let's say, because they are so beautiful. And particularly, I find the Amouage bottles just amazing to look at. I think visually they are stunning. And I don't know if you've seen the new library range since, Renaud Salmon took over as creative director, but they're these sort of matte clay kind of bottles, and they are just magnificent. I mean, they are...
And easier to photograph.
Art. Absolutely. Yeah, I've sold bottles because I can't photograph them. Anything with a round silver cap can fuck off. I'm not interested.
100%. Yeah, my day job is I do quite a bit of like commercial photography and product photography.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so one of my clients does metal picture frames. And taking a picture of like a mirror finish on a picture frame is so difficult, just because you're just taking a picture of yourself in something else, So irritating.
I struggle with all of that. There are so many quality photographers on Instagram, and my stuff is best amateurish. I mean, I've been doing it long enough that I think I've got my own sort of style, but you know, some of the photographers are just amazing. And anyone that's got a good working knowledge of like Photoshop and that knows how to stack photos properly,
yeah, exposures and
they are way more they're way more advanced than me. I can't do any of that shit. Well, so I'm constantly sort of holding up bits of white paper trying to like isolate kind of shadows and stuff.
That's what it looks like over here too, so you're in good company for sure.
I actually want to step back a minute. When we were talking about movies, I kind of want to take the approach of parodies in a way. I was listening to one of your episodes not too long ago. I don't remember sure which one it was, but kind of what do you think about the Armoff? Is it Armoff? Which one does the Creed Aventus?
Oh, clone? The Club de Nuit.
There we go.
Sort of.
What do you think about that? Because you said you like
Creed Aventus. Club de Nuit?
Yes. Because it seemed pretty polarizing, like all y'all's opinions that day.
Well, I mean, look, the thing about Les Odorants is don't ever seek consistency. We are like octopi. We will just kind of argue in eight different directions simultaneously. You know, the thing we hate one week, we're advocating for the next. So, sure, don't expect consistency. But our math, I think Club de Nuit is a particular thing, right? Aventus clones serve a very specific purpose, right? They are the antidote to the extremely greedy behavior of companies like Creed, who created a good thing and then systematically watered it down and made it more expensive. You know, they've made it to the point that it is borderline unaffordable to the man in the street. And that is ludicrous for what is essentially, it's costing them £5-10 to produce at most, right? Them charging £300 for 100 mil? Fuck off. Right? Club de Nuit, I think, fills a very specific gap in the market. I'm sort of relaxed about clones generally these days. I think they're an okay way of accessing stuff. But what absolutely blows my mind about Club de Nuit specifically, I don't know whether you heard this particular episode of the podcast, but I did go on about it. You know how with Aventus, there are people who enthuse about different batches and there are entire social communities dedicated to this. There are parallel communities dedicated to batch analysis of Club de Nuit. What the absolute fuck is that about?
Yeah, you were like going on about it in there. I did listen to that one. It was, you were talking about like them having a Facebook group with like 4,000 members. You're like blown away by this community.
Yeah. Yeah, that is crazy for a $30 fragrance.
Yeah.
Good Lord. Who cares?
I mean, for me, crazy though, people. He ended up buying, I don't know which one it was, but he ended up buying one of them.
I can't remember. It was the one, like, last year, everyone was like, oh, this hyping is it, the one to get. And, you know, I was like, okay, I'm going to make a $40 gamble here for the podcast, and let's just see. Yeah. Is everybody out there telling the truth, you know? And it's like, I go back and forth too. Some days I'm like, man, I kind of get it. And some days I'm like, no, this is not good. So it probably depends on the weather and the humidity or whatever. But it's, I think consistency is lacking there as well.
Was it the Urban Elixir one?
Club de Nuit, special edition, parfum, whatever, you know, that one.
Right.
Okay. It was like, everybody's like, oh, this is the one. It's smoother up top, you know, and it's like, it's still pretty screechy, still pretty rough, you know. It's, you know, it's sometimes, I grew up pretty broke, and sometimes you can buy the off-brand cereal and it's pretty close, and then sometimes you get the Happy Fruit Circles and it's nothing like Fruit Loops, you know. So I think it just depends on clones and inspired fragrances. Depends on which one you get, you know.
Yeah, I can't quite relate to the cereal thing, but yeah, the rest of that makes total sense to me.
Right. Yeah.
But I think it's fine. I mean, clones fill a gap in the market. They provide an easy way for people to access stuff. There's a lot of people who can't afford to even try Aventus, but they can pick up Club de Nuit. Why should you not having money mean that you don't get to smell pleasant? I mean, what, do poor people have to stink or something? That's ridiculous. So, yeah.
What's been the closest clone you have smelled to where you're like, I'm actually pretty impressed with this. This is pretty close to the real shit.
That's easy. Alexandria Fragrances Nefarious is a clone of Nishane or Nishane, however you pronounce that shit. Mm-hmm. Apparently it's Nishane, but I can't help saying Nishane. Nishane Nefs. Right, which I think is a Chris Maurice fragrance. Brilliant fragrance. The Alexandria one, completely, utterly indistinguishable in my view. Like proper blind test, they are identical. And one of them costs £500 for 50 mil, and one of them costs £40 for 50 ml.
Yeah, that's the way to go.
Yeah, that's a gimme.
The little bonus box we received from you guys inspired a fragrance, or inspired an episode.
Oh, God.
Because the one in there was, yeah, it was Forbidden Plum, which was inspired by the Tom Ford one. And it came in.
Plum
and I was
Japanese. Yeah.
Yes. And I sprayed it, and me and Ryan were both like, God, this smells amazing.
Yes.
So then, you know, we were kind of wearing it around and talking about it. And I was like, well, what is this? You know, it was inspired by. And we had a decant of Plum Japanese we got a couple of years ago. And we hadn't done an episode on it. So that was the episode that went out for Monday. We were like, let's just smell that one, do an episode on it, because it smelled so damn good. And that one is discontinued now. So I think clones do kind of serve a purpose for that as well. Like fragrances that have been long forgotten, some of the clones still live on.
Yeah. I should clarify, I am actually nothing to do with Alexandria Parfums. We share a building. And so what happened was the shipping people basically just put the wrong label on the wrong box. And that's why you ended up with some fucking random order that was, I think, meant to go to bloody Romania or something.
Right.
And they got all your lovely Soma stuff. So everyone got double bubble.
Yeah. Well, we were happily.
Well, you'll get yours.
That's right. Yeah. It's here in a few days. But yeah, we posted that on the Patreon. We were like, hey guys, we got this bottle. We're going to pull a decant out of it and we'll mail it on out to somebody. So it was a fun little, it was a little bonus. We liked it. Yeah. We liked the fragrance and everything.
I love all the discontinued Tom Ford. Sorry.
No, you're good. Well, that's a better topic than what I was going to ask Ryan. is there one that you're in love with that you can't get your hands on anymore?
Oh, you can't get your hands on most of them anymore, annoyingly. But Japon Noir is my personal favorite. I do have a bottle with like about, I don't know, 30 ml left or something. And I wear it, you know, every so often just as a sort of, just as a treat to myself. But I think that is one of the most perfectly crafted kind of dark, woody, masculine fragrances. And you know, most of my perfumes tend to have a good sort of woody edge to them. That's the only sort of consistency through my collection, I'd say. But some of the Tom Ford discontinued ones are amazing. Moss Breeches, I don't know if you've ever tried Moss Breeches, but the people go loopy for that. It was only ever made for like 1 year, I think. And the bottles sell, 50 ml bottles sell for like £1,000 now. It's fucking craziness.
God, yeah.
Craziness.
Yeah, I think that's what saw on eBay. I'll sell one. Plum Japanese.
It was $1,000.
Yeah.
Jesus, man. Proud of I was like, I need to like take on a second job if I'm going to be thinking about, you know, buying bottles that expensive.
Yeah. I mean, it's an expensive hobby with fragrance. And, you know, it's, you know, you can do it inexpensively if you are careful about buying like, you know, samples and decants and stuff. And if you're not sort of obsessed with the bottle, if like me, you're an absolute moron and you insist on owning the bottle of everything just so you can take fucking photos of it, it's gonna end up destroying your marriage is how I would say. Yeah.
I could see where that could be a point of contention for sure.
Good. This may be a little taboo, but it makes me think about it, and every now and then I rehash it in my head. But it's like, what are your feelings towards, not necessarily like YouTubers, but a lot of the community when we first got in, they pushed blind buying so much. And you're right, as far as like, not, you know, people shouldn't really just be going out buying just an assload of stuff, because it can, I mean, I think you have a purpose for it, so I don't think it really hurts you. But what do you feel like about the community as a whole being like that?
I've grown more cynical about the community as a whole. And it bothers me so much now that we sort of have an environment where people are just constantly shoving discount codes down your throat. You know, this is my discount code. Use my discount code. And it's invariably because they get a kickback on it, right? This is how they get paid. And I'm not claiming to be holier than thou. I have had and used discount codes in that way. But now, when I get offered a sort of split revenue share type thing by a company, I tend to say, look, rather than me have a 10% discount code and me get paid 10%, why don't you just give me a 20% discount code and send me some bottles of perfume occasionally? Because I'd far rather do that. I'm not really motivated by the money, and I know that it will just compromise me ethically if I feel that I have to shove this shit down people's throats. Right. And I think so many reviewers are fucking compromised in that sense. And it is a real turnoff, if I'm honest. And it never used to be quite as bad as this. You know, people used to just say chilly shit to get free bottles. Right. Now they're saying it to get paid. And that's much more disingenuous, I think. And so many people are hiding it as well. You know, like the paid partnership labels that you're meant to use. So many people don't use them. They don't disclose that stuff is free or that they're being paid by brands. So I'm deeply cynical about everyone at the moment. I would just say, look, fucking get yourself a small B can as cheaply as you can. Try it. And if you love it, buy a bottle. It's easy.
Yeah. I got the vibe from listening to your podcast that you're sort of like that. And I kind of want to pick your brain up a little bit because, I mean, we've talked about this publicly on our podcast and sometimes we've come to terms with it and we feel good and go about our lives. And and he'll tell you, I'm like you. I just started thinking about it. And it really does bother me because we enjoy being able to be honest. Like, look, there's some Raja Dove stuff we really love. We just did one actually for our Patreon. And we fucking hated it. And I'm not going to change.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm not going to. I'm not going to say
which one.
It was actually the Parfum de la Nuit 1. Did not.
What?
Garbage.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
Fuck. I love that perfume.
It smells like deer piss. Oh.
No, you're right. You're right. And I love it. Those are not incompatible statements.
Exactly.
We had a conversation, I think, about De La Nuit 2.
We have that one to smell, but we haven't smelled it.
Okay. I love all three of those. I think they're brilliant. They're very animalic, though. And so they are a little bit, they're a bit hard work, right? Mm-hmm. But I love 2. I actually bought it with my own money. No fucking freebies there. I did buy it discounted, so I didn't pay full retail price. God. But
that's kind of Yell's motto, right? Never pay retail.
God, no. No, I mean, why? But we talked about it and everybody else was so down on it, like just hated it. Like, oh, this is just a really boring amber. For me, I don't know why, but I love them. And there's very few of the Roger ones that I don't like. But I spent a lot of money on those shits. They do send me some stuff for free, so I'm not going to pretend I haven't received some shit for free, but there's plenty that I've bought myself and I will continue to do so.
I think probably someday we'll circle back around. We did this with Must Rev Jar. The first time we smelled it was very early on when we were very designer and we both did not care for it. And then recently we had a listener send us like some samples and that was in it. And we were like, well, we've already done an episode on this, so let's just spray it. And we did, and we were like, oh my God, we fucking love it now. So I think for us at this particular point, it's so challenging for us that we were like, man, this little stankiness on it is like, woo, that's it's not something we could wear. We could see how on the tester strip, it had like this kind of boozy, fun type of like almost like smell like scotch or something. We're like, that's pleasant. But on the skin, it was so like animalic, like you said. It was like, God, I can't see where I would ever wear this. Not that it didn't smell like very good perfumery. It was just like, this is going to be so hard to wear.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with that, actually. I mean, I don't find many occasions to wear them, if I'm honest, but I love the fragrance. But it's important to be honest. And, you know, sometimes I get sent stuff to review that I just won't review because I don't like it. And I can't think of good things to say. Sometimes I'll try stuff and I go, well, I don't like it, but I can at least acknowledge the craftsmanship there. And so I'll think of good things to say about the perfume and say, well, you might like this if. But I won't ever put out a fucking fluff review saying, oh, this is brilliant when I don't think so. Because, you know, I don't know. You don't have many things in this world, but bloody integrity and honesty, you can control those, right? And you should just stick with it, I think. That's my take, anyway.
Let me piggyback on this, then. Have you smelled Blue Atlas Atlantis? Have you smelled that yet?
I haven't. I have not. I've seen it, and I'm sort of interested, and I sort of nearly bought one because I nearly caught the hype about it. But there's something so insincere about the way that that is pushed in so many magazines and top X many lists, and, hey, use my discount code. And
yeah, that's so, what it felt
like. Yeah, no, I won't do it. I did a review of S-Boy by Draco. Have you seen this? The Soldier Boy perfume. It's in so many top 10 lists, right? And everyone's offering $35 off, right? Use my code for $35 off. By the way, they're getting paid $35 every time someone buys a bottle of that perfume. God. And they sent it to me and they said, would you like a code? And I said, no, I wouldn't actually, because I don't think firstly, it's not going to generate enough money for it to be kind of meaningful for me. And I'd have to feel like I was selling my ass in town in order to do that. I didn't use those exact words, but I did say, look, what I will do is commit to give it an honest review. And I did. And I really like the perfume. You know, nothing bad to say about that perfume at all. I thought it was really very pleasant indeed. So just because it is hyped and it's shilled and people are fucking assholes about it doesn't mean it's a bad perfume.
Right.
But it certainly puts you on your guard, doesn't it? I mean, I assume Blue Atlantis is no good in your view then.
In my view, no. We actually had Steve from the Scent Geeks. He came on and we sampled it all together. He had had it before us.
Yeah, he recommended it for us to try just because of there was so much hype out there that he was like curious, because we know you guys will shoot straight, let us know. And we did an episode and we blind smelled it on the episode. Ryan hated it, and part of it is because of, like he said earlier, he is so cynical, and he's like quick to bang the drum and be like, everyone look, they're cheating, they're doing bad stuff, you know. For me, I'm like, I will acknowledge, they're probably being shitty, but then I'm like, off to my own thing. You know, Ryan lives, I've said it before, in this utopia of like, everything has to be perfect, and if it's not, then you know, we need to rally together and change. I'm like, that's never going to happen. Yeah. Let's be realistic, you know. To me, it smelled like a Bath and Body Works sort of fresh. It wasn't great. Didn't have great performance. It wasn't like everybody's like, Aventus Killer, the next king of niche. You know, they were saying that. I'm like, I don't smell that at all. No. It doesn't smell bad, but it doesn't smell like that. Like, nobody is going to miss out if they don't buy it.
Yeah, I find some of those perfumes just so, I mean, the perfumes themselves are so deeply cynical in the sense that they are trying to just, it's like they sort of went through the last 15 years of like enormous selling perfumes and said, right, we want the top notes of that, the middle notes of that, a bit of the bass from that, I want the perfumer from that. You know, it's like trying to put together one of those all-star sort of football teams or whatever, basketball, whatever analogy works for you. But you know, it's like, I reviewed Paco Phantom. Have you tried Paco Phantom in the robot bottle?
Yep.
Ooh, it's disgusting. Yes. And it basically, from a football point of view, it's like having 11 strikers on the pitch. It's like all the best strikers in the world, but no actual fucking coherence. They can't play together. They don't. Right. It doesn't work as a team.
Yeah,
and that's how I feel about a lot of these kind of perfumes that come out of nowhere, like the BA one did, with a lot of money behind them, a lot of marketing budget, because that's really all it is.
Right.
And they are just, you know, they're cynical from top to bottom, but the actual scent is cynical. It's a sort of, hey, just get all the top 10 hits of the last 6 decades and throw them in a AI machine and vomit out the next track. And that's what we've got. Hooray.
I feel like this is a good transition because you do yourself have two different brands. What is then your approach to create new inspired work that offers something to the marketplace, but is still individual?
So let's get the tricky one out of the way first, right? Okay. So Insider is basically recreations of discontinued stuff.
Oh, cool. Okay,
so it is. So we take like the discontinued Tom Fords. We're working on a few other bits and bobs, like a Dolce & Gabbana one and some other stuff, and we recreate them. Now, what we don't do is sell fragrances that are already in production, or at least at the moment we don't. We're sort of toying with the idea of doing an Aventus one because they fucked that up so badly.
Right.
But the idea is to try and rehabilitate or you know, bring back to life discontinued stuff. And we do that in very plain packaging. We do it as cheaply as we possibly can, and we don't really make a lot of money out of it. We did it as a side project just for fun. But, you know, get that out of the way. It is, you know, I can use all the words in the world, but, you know, someone says that's a clone business. Yeah, I'm probably paying some rights there.
I'll get behind it.
But Soma is Original Creations, and we work with a perfumer in, well, it's a company in France. We provide a brief, they send us a couple of initial attempts at hitting that brief. We then go back and say, well, we like this, but we're not sure about this element of it. Could you try and change that? And we usually go through kind of two or three iteration cycles before we land on the perfume that we think works. And the initial series were just perfumes that I liked. It was pointed out to me that this was quite limiting, right? Because I've got a particular style that I like. And so if I only create perfumes, we only create and sell perfumes that I like, there's lots and lots of people who aren't going to enjoy much that we produce. So more recently, we tried to sort of break that out a little bit more. So our recent releases, Axiom and Theorem. Axiom is probably more my style. It's kind of fruity, ginger, orange, lots of cedar. We use lots of cedar generally as a sort of backbone. But Theorem is, I guess, a little bit more, I'd say unisex. It's not feminine, but a few people have said, well, this is definitely unisex, right? And it's lots of iris, a little bit of leather, and it's quite different from anything else we've done before. And it's not the typical sort of perfume that I would wear. But yeah, the inspiration tends to just come from me thinking about stuff that I like and styles that I like that I think, well, what if we changed that a little bit? And there's a lot of bullshittery, right, in perfume. So I could tell you that this was inspired by, you know, the time where I was sitting on my grandfather's lap, you know, in Germany in the 1970s. It's like, is it fuck? It's just stuff that I like. And I like that. What if we sort of went over in this direction with it? That's how it works.
Do you feel like some of the bullshittery is kind of needed, though? Do you think that adds to the experience?
Yes, and I have been told that. It's funny you should say that. We had a conversation with a fairly major distributor, and they were saying, well, look, you know, what's the backstory here? What's the story? What's the brand story? Well, you know, what's the inspiration for these perfumes? And I said, well, me and my mate wanted to make some perfumes, and I described the thing that I like to smell. And they were like, yeah, that's not a fucking story, mate.
Right,
Get out of here, you idiot. So, yeah, we do need to come up with some stuff. I've got a friend who's an author who wrote me some blurb for Soma. So now we've got this kind of rather grand mission statement and stuff. But it doesn't come naturally to me at all, the bullshit. Gotcha. I'm almost kind of congenitally straight shooting in that regard.
Yeah, that was the one thing I felt like, because we had ended up messaging back and forth. We did the episode and we had immediately people were like, hey, you know who that is, right? And we're like, not to you know, downplay who you are, but
this was when you read my review.
Yeah. So a lot of people wrote in and we're just like, no, we didn't. Because we found early on that
who the fuck is that idiot?
We did an interview with the Fragrance Apprentice, taking a little side story here, and he was talking about Rose 08, and we had never, we were brand new, we didn't know anybody, so he was like, oh yeah, Rose 08.
Even I know him.
Yeah, and, well, I said, well, I don't know who the fuck that guy is, like, I just like, kind of took 10 seconds to trash a guy I didn't know, and then, of course, he hears it, and we had some back and forth, and I was just trying to tell him, like, hey, I was trying to be funny in the moment with George, but I was like, you know, we wanted to have him on. And so this was like a very similar scenario where after everybody wrote in and they were like, hey, this guy, he actually has a better podcast than you guys have.
Yeah. Well, that's not even true, but thank you for saying it.
Look, we wouldn't think it was true if we hadn't had like eight people send the same message. Yeah. So we were like, okay. So then on the next episode, I was like, I got to jab this guy a little bit, you know? And luckily, Steve kind of connected us enough to where we could talk it out, because I immediately knew, like, just from listening to you guys and seeing kind of what you do, I'm like, we have a similar sort of way about us, which is like, let's just say the damn thing and it'll be done, you know? So I was like, I think this guy can appreciate it.
I agree. And there's a lot of thin-skinnedness, I think. Yes. You know, to make a serious point there, people are very brittle these days. And certainly within the fragrance community, there's a lot of thin-skinnedness. I mean, I know there is some quite nastiness. I don't know if you ever sort of look on Reddit at the odor jerks or whatever. Yeah,
we've been there.
Yeah, that stuff, some of it, I mean, historically has been quite amusing, but some of it goes way too far. It's very unpleasant.
Yeah, for sure.
But, there's a lot of thin-skinnedness about criticism. People don't take criticism of their perfumes well and stuff. You know, if you're going to put yourself out there, if you're going to go to the trouble of doing it, then make sure that you're wearing a thick enough hat because otherwise you're just going to get upset. And there are certainly perfumers who are very, very brittle in that regard. And I think, Christ, if you can't take the feedback, don't put yourself out there in the first place. It's pointless.
Yeah, part of it, too, is like, because I did this in another industry, but a friend and I kind of create a certain product that was very different from what was out on the market, and we were very proud of it. And we put it out there, and we got tons of criticism just because it was different, you know? And a lot of people are just like, this isn't what I'm used to. It sucks, you know? And we just, for whatever reason, we kind of blew up overnight. And because of that, we were just hit with a lot of great, but also a ton of negativity. And it like helped me kind of develop a pretty thick skin. And sometimes when I see guys that put something out and they can't take a negative comment, it makes me wonder if they're not fully in that one thing. Like, if you're not proud enough to be able to go, well, you're just wrong. Like, you know, if you don't like this, you're just wrong. So, whatever.
So the one, and I'll, you know, as I said, I'll always argue against myself as well. The counter argument I'd make, and I sort of wanted to make this point earlier, is I don't depend on any of this stuff for my salary, you know, right. I have a day job, right? And there are guys like, well, there's plenty of guys, I won't bother naming them, but there's plenty of fragrance reviewers, right? For whom this is their job, yeah. Right? This is how they make money. They basically do live streams. They ask for people to pay them to do it. They launch their own brands. They rely on that being a success, yada, yada, yada.
Right.
I'm lucky enough not to have that baggage, right? If it's a, if it's a success, great. If it's not a success, don't worry, I haven't quit the day job, because this is all evenings and weekends.
Right.
I don't do fragrance stuff during the day. I actually have a salaried job, and that's, you know, that's what puts food in the mouths of my kids. I do sometimes wonder if I would behave differently about stuff like incentives and about stuff like reacting to negative feedback and stuff if my actual livelihood depended on it. So sometimes I kind of think, well, you know, I don't want to be the person doing the criticizing here, because maybe I don't quite know how I would behave if I were in that situation. Yeah, but on the whole, I don't really ever want to be in that situation. I don't want to be dependent on this, because I think it drives the wrong sort of behaviors. Reality is, if I lost my job tomorrow, I would go and find another job. I would not try and make it as a perfume reviewer.
Oh, that's an interesting thing. Okay. Because I would say you're quite established in this. So that's pretty noble, because a lot of people...
Well, I don't make much money out of it. I mean, I say I make a little bit of money in the sense that sometimes brands send me stuff, which I sell, you know, always for cheap as well, because I feel guilty about doing that as well. So that's really the only source of income that I get from it. Soma and Insider don't generate... I mean, they barely cover their own costs, to be perfectly honest. So, you know, they're not going to change anything. I continue to do it in the hope that maybe one day I'll be a success, you know, a big success, or maybe one day I'll just pack it in and say, well, it didn't work out quite as I wanted, and that's life. But I certainly don't depend on them financially. And so I have the luxury of being able to stand back and be super objective about it. If I depended on it financially, I do wonder whether I would behave in a very different way. So, and it's easy for me to criticize from the outside, you know?
Yeah, for sure. That's a nice thing to say, because I we tend to be a little bit more gruff about people who we feel are fleecing the flock, as we say.
Fuck them. Yeah.
We've tried to, for the most part, and we acknowledged an episode, like, if you've interacted personally with some of the people who run some of the brands, if they treat you like with respect and really well, it's hard not to have like a positive knee-jerk reaction towards anything that they do if they've been close friends or just really kind to you, you know. So we had to say that initially in an episode that we did, where it's just like, look, this one brand has been especially supportive of us from the very beginning, so you're gonna have to read into that we may have a little filter on when we're looking at some of this stuff. But you know, we're never gonna tell you to go buy this thing or blind buy it. But
no, I think that's perfectly fine, you know. That customer service is part of what you are buying when you hand over your money. I mean, I've bought a few of the Zaroff fragrances in my time, and I've spoken with George a few times. I find him completely charming. He's a bit bonkers, but I find him totally charming.
Yeah.
And he gets the idea of customer service. He has a very attentive brand. There are plenty of brands out there who just want to sell you something and, you know, move on to the next victim. And I think, you know, I spend all my evenings and, you know, weekends doing perfume related stuff. A lot of that is answering bloody questions about perfumes on Instagram or, you know, our websites or whatever. I just kind of don't know. I figure I hate this. I'm not a positive minded person. I'm really not. But I figure if you try and put a positive sort of set of behaviors out there, you're likely to benefit from that coming back in sort of business terms. That's not me like being all fucking, you know, kumbaya and
name
stuff.
And claim
it's just
it.
Good. Yeah, it's just good practice to be sort of polite to people.
For sure.
Sometimes sometimes the mask slips.
That's good. And it depends on the day, you know. You do the best you can, absolutely, but sometimes they catch you, and you know, the waitress was mean to you and it cost more than you thought, and you're just in a bad mood, and you get a comment and you just go, "Eh, well, you can fuck off."
Yeah. Fuck off. Exactly.
I think we should end on that, by the way.
That'd just be the whole thing.
End on a fuck off. Yeah.
The way we'll paint this episode, too, will be like, we tried to have him on, and here's what he said. Y'all can just fuck off.
Yeah, just edit it. Edit it to sound that way. It'll be brilliant. Yeah, good.
Well, I feel like we've like barely scratched the surface with you. I'm kind of putting you on the spot here, but would you be willing to come back and do another episode and hash out?
No, sorry. I've hated it. It's been awful. So, yeah, of course. I mean, it's like literally, it's fucking sad to say it, but it's literally my favorite thing to do is to talk about perfume, right? So you say, I would do this if we weren't recording a podcast. I'd just say, hey, let's talk about perfume. So the fact that we're recording and putting it out there, cool, but I'm up for talking about this whenever. And yeah, I'd be more than happy to. In fact, I'll tell you what, try the perfumes. I have sent you some perfumes. Mm. Try them. Let me know what you think. And if you hate them, then I probably won't come on. But if you like them, then I'll come back. No, even if you hate them, I don't really care. You know,
yeah. I do have to applaud you.
Honest appraisal.
Off air, you did say, and I feel like a lot of people would not say this, so I feel like you're living out what you're preaching in a way, but off air, you did say, if you don't like them, you can still review them, and it won't hurt my feelings at all. And I feel like a lot of brands would not say that, and I'd have to commend you for allowing that to happen, even though we said if we didn't like them, then we probably wouldn't.
Thank you. We got sent, just on a similar note, we got sent some perfumes by a guy called Carter Weeks Maddox, who's an American perfumer, And he has, I forget the name of the brand, maybe Chronotope or something. But anyway, he sent us some perfumes to review on the podcast. And what he said, I thought was lovely. He said, I don't care if you love them or you hate them, as long as you review them with some passion. What I don't want is insipid kind of like, which, you know, I thought was perfect. Yeah. He just wants to see passion, either good or bad. And I love that. I think that's a good model to aspire to.
That's kind of what we've heard Raja Dove say as well, which is like, I would rather make a fragrance that you hate than one that you're just like, eh.
Yeah.
You know?
Like yeah, absolutely.
That means there's some character to it.
Yeah, and the thing you hate is going to be, I guarantee, is going to be the thing someone else loves, right? It might even be the thing that you come back to, you know, the must ravageur. It might be the thing you come back to and subsequently fall in love with.
Right.
But the thing that just makes you go, eh, you're unlikely to ever give it a second glance.
No, that's true.
And so I think polarizing stuff, stuff that's brave, stuff that's creative, far more interesting. That said, you know, even if you find my perfumes, just say so. You know, I'd rather, I think, you know, honesty above everything. It was one of the sort of values my dad cultivated in me from birth, was just be honest, right? Doesn't mean be unpleasant, but be honest. Yeah. And I think that's important.
Love that, man. Well, closing out, tell the listeners, where's one place you want them to go to follow you, to check out what you're doing? It could be your Instagram, could be one of the companies you're running. What do you want them to check out?
All the links to what I do are on my Fragrance Weirdo page on Instagram. Every time I say Fragrance Weirdo, I feel like an absolute idiot. I had occasion to meet the Stephanie Bacouche, who created my favorite perfume ever, which is Invasion Barbar. And we'd spoken a lot, but I met her and I said, oh, hi, Stephanie, it's Dan. And she looked at me and she goes, Dan? I said, fragrance weirdo? She goes, oh, Dan! It's like, yeah. When you have to introduce yourself as a weirdo, it feels a bit weird. I chose that name a long time ago.
I get that. Yeah, I still got email addresses that I'm ashamed to even mention now. So. But Dan, thanks so much
Hot
for being
stuff.
On. Chunky lover.
Thank you, guys. And I do look forward to talking to you again. Cheers.
All right. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.